Okay. Good morning, everyone. Morning. Good to see you all. Welcome back for some of you who've been away for a while. It's been a good summer, but it's good to be together here and to worship together. We're going to start this morning, our liturgy, right? The way we go about our worship, there's the order of our services, it's similar, but there's going to be a couple of small changes you might notice. One being that we'll have lyric videos this morning, but we're only going to have a couple. There's also going to be an opportunity for you to respond. So we'll see how that goes. But we're going to start with reading Psalm 150 together. It'll be up on the screen. Psalm 150 is the last of the Psalms. The Psalms are a collection of prayers. They start with really focusing on God and His Word, and then recognizing a Messiah who is here and who is coming in Psalms 1 and 2. And then they move out into the wider world. And the Psalms are just a collection of prayers for every different circumstance. And they go through the highs and lows of life. And I love the Psalms because there's something there somewhere for whatever it is that you and I are going through at any given time. There are times where it's just absolute praise. There are times where it is lament and God-inspired complaints and laments at the very lowest of times. And then everywhere in between, when you're struggling with people who are just driving you crazy, when God is good and the light is shining, they're everywhere. But the Psalms move through the ups and downs of life and end with praise. And there's something really, really important about that movement of praying your way with the Lord through the highs and lows of life and then ending on a note of praise. And in fact, when you get to the end and the last psalm, there's almost no other, it's like they can't find any more reasons to praise God, so we'll just continue giving more reasons to praise God, and we'll just do it not because He's done anything, but just because of who He is. And that's where we're actually going to start today. So you can stay seated, but would you pray this psalm of praise with me now? Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, we worship You with everything that we have. You have given us breath, and so we're going to give it back to You in our praise. Lord, may everything around us praise You. May everything inside of us praise You. May we join with all of creation in worshiping You. You are the one true God. We owe everything to You. And even when we are not currently maybe experiencing all of the smiles and goodness that we would want from You at any given moment, we still give You praise because You are worth it. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord simply because You are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You could stay seated for this first song, but let's worship. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Did anyone else see the typo up there? I do not give praise for that. It drives me crazy. Nevertheless, we praise Him even, we praise Him simply for who He is, not just for what He has done for us. And at the same time, we do give Him praise when He does good things for us. And we're going to sing another song that you're going to know it, so I will ask you to stand for it. It's about God's worthiness. You're worthy of all of our praise. But as we sing this next song, when we come to the end of it, there's going to be an opportunity for you to say, here's what I'm praising God for today. And you can just stay in your seats or come up and grab a mic if you want and say, here's how God has been good to me. Here's how I've seen him this week. It could be 10 seconds. But what you do when you do that is you offer God both a risk, because you're standing up in front of people and, you know, it takes you out of your comfort zone. But it's another way of drawing us together into worship to say, I have seen God's goodness. I have experienced him. I am praising him. And he's worthy of me taking this step in offering that kind of worship. So if he so prompts you as we sing this next song, there'll be an opportunity for that right after. So would you rise and let's worship God together. He is worthy. You can have a seat. Lord, we love you. We love you because you first loved us. We love you because you are worthy. There's no one else like you. You're in a category all by yourself. You are good beyond measure. You are holy beyond our understanding. And your love fills the earth. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for the work that you are doing in our lives. Would you guide us even now in offering you a different form of worship? We love you, Lord. Amen. Who wants to call some things out? What are you grateful for this week? What is he worthy of you saying, he's done this. He's done this for me and I want to share it. Peace. He gave peace this week where peace was needed. Awesome. Thank you. What else? Yeah. You want a mic or you want to stand? This is David.
My voice is this Monday evening. I had this, God spoke to me. And I didn't know what that was like until this Monday. I always pray. I've been practicing prayer since I've been in the center. And I never had God speak. I don't even know if this qualifies for it, but it's as close as I've ever experienced this. I pray every night for everybody I love, and I also pray for God to show me my purpose. And I had an interesting thought come across my mind on Monday night, and it was, God said to me, I'm pouring all this love into you and all these blessings into you. It's your job to share them with the people around you and the world around you. And that's as simple as that, son. That's what God told me. And I really changed my whole perspective on everything. So just goes to show for me that I'm working on my relationship with God and it's working. Feels amazing, and all the glory to God for that.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that, David. Others. This is Patrick. These were not planned, by the way.
I'm grateful for God teaching me how to be humble and just to pay attention to his will, not mine. That's something that I had a tough lesson this week with, and forcing my hand versus his. So I'm just grateful for the rebuilding that he has within me and the love that he continues to share with me.
Wow. Thank you, Patrick. Experiencing God's love in a way that it comes through some difficult times. Wow. That is awesome that you can see God's hand in the middle of going through something difficult. We call that revelation. Wow. Anyone else want to share? Lori, thank you for demonstrating an attitude of gratitude and being able to see God at work in the middle of difficult circumstances and saying, God is still good. This has not been good. God is still good. That's awesome. Thanks for demonstrating that, guys. Last chance. Lord, we love you. Thank you for a different form of worship to share testimony of who you are, your goodness in the middle of life. Thank you that you are a God who speaks. Thank you that you are a God who leads. Thank you that you are a God who provides. And we trust you to be all of those things and more to us as we continue on in this journey somewhere between Psalm 1 and Psalm 150, where we're going through the ups and downs. and yet we're still working our way towards praise for no other reason than you are God. But thank you that we see you in the middle of life. Thank you that you reveal yourself. Thank you that you are good and your love endures forever and your faithfulness continues to all generations. The Lord is good to all and his compassion is over all that he has made. And we love you for it. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to give you a few minutes to say hello to your friends and those you don't yet know and make others feel welcome, and we will regroup in a few minutes. Thanks. Okay, I'm going to invite everyone to return to their seats. Okay, thank you. Let me just give one announcement, and I'm going to invite Sam up. Just a reminder that next Sunday, we are having a baptism. And so Nick Burnett will, as part of our worship service, share his testimony here. And then we will not have snack time afterwards. We will pack up the chairs pretty quickly and then head to the river. And if you don't know where we go, I will give you directions, or you can find us, follow someone there. But we will then see him baptized in the river. So we're looking forward to that. So make sure you're here next Sunday to hear his testimony and to be here to support him. And if you are thinking about it, you are running out of time to talk to me about getting baptized, but there is still some time, and I'd love to have those conversations. Okay, Sam, would you like to come on up? As you might remember, Sam and Katie Bender went to Romania through July to go work at Camp Falcon Rock and see what God was doing there. And so he asked me if he could give an update on what God's been doing in their lives and how he used them there. So please, thanks, Sam.
Well, thank you, guys. I just want to say, first and foremost, thank you to the Body of Unity. I'd shared kind of my message of going out and asking for support. And very soon after, it was like 1 or 2 days afterwards, like every fund that I needed was instantly covered. And to go to a church of this size and to reach out to people that you've known and people that you haven't for a long time, and just to have that family that supports and supports the mission of Christ, it was truly it was very emotional for me to see the support of the family that I've had for so long. So I want to preface the mission to Romania with that. So I thank you guys very much. I bless you for that. So Katie and I, we left, and our time in Romania was such a blessing. We got to work at Camp Falcon Rock. For those of you who don't know, it's a camp very similar to a North American kind of Bible camp. But the difference, I'd say, would be that it offers more so a few more sponsorship to a lot of the lower kind of income quality of life people in Romania. There's a specific group called the Roma. It's a developing country in Romania, and these people, the Roma people, are even less, I guess, economically advanced as the rest of their neighbors. So this group, they would be a lot of the sponsored kids who would come. So as we were in Romania, there's a lot of stories that we could share, but some of the main ones that I do want to share would be this one. It's actually, I'll read off a little bit of a testimony that was written about one of the kids who was there this summer. So his name was Ruben. This testimony was written as kind of an anonymous thing. So in here, his name's Samuel, but I'll read it as Ruben. I'll substitute it, and I'll just kind of tell you this little story. So it says, Ruben is a 12-year-old boy who faithfully attends the weekly village outreach programs led by Camp Falcon Rock throughout the year. This is in one of their neighboring villages where this young boy attends. He comes from a Roma family with a very difficult background and has no Christian influence at home. He also has a speech disability, which often makes him the target of teasing by other children. Initially, Ruben wasn't going to be able to attend camp because of financial hardship. However, through the support of Mission to Children, he was sponsored to come. Watching him throughout the week, it became clear just how much the weekly outreach programs and summer camp had shaped his life. Ruben displayed extraordinary kindness and a genuine servant's heart. So Ruben was a kid in our first camp, and I got to run sports, and he was very involved, and he loved to play sports. But he came every single day with the same big baggy shirt and baggy shorts and really ratty shoes. And he was just the sweetest kid, spoke no English whatsoever. So all of his sounds that he would kind of try to, I guess, communicate with to me and to Katie, it was kind of a lot of smiles and a lot of waves and like high fives. But he was truly the sweetest kid. Katie has a story that she likes to share of just how they set up this massive event for the kids. And it was a really big hit. They loved it. And it was in the evening. After it was done, everyone left. But Ruben and his group of about four other boys who were very, very sweet, they stayed around and helped clean up. And they stayed probably another half an hour just to like do the little extra stuff. And it was just a testimony to see just how selfless and transformed these kids who were sponsored to be there. They genuinely got to experience the love of God, but also pay that forward. And just to see that testimony was probably the biggest blessing, at least in one kid that we saw that summer. I could share so much more. And the one other thing that I'll share is, while we were there, I got chances to share at campfires and testimonies. Katie got chances to share and speak to the kids during cabin time, or not cabin times, but session times. One of the things that I shared the one day, Ben just asked people to come on up and say, what are you grateful for? What have you seen God doing? Where have you seen him working? I'll share one thing that I saw in Romania. I gave Ben a bunch of pictures to put up this morning, and I was really dumb, and I uploaded them to Drive, and he needed permission to access them. So none of them are here. Sorry about that, guys. But the one picture you can visualize in your head is the campfire that they have at Camp Falcon Rock. It's kind of an amphitheater, auditorium style with just rocks that are built, which was a mission team that went out the other year to build it. It's got a fireplace at the back, and then valleys and just mountains in the background. Romania is just a beautiful country. And looking out from the campfire, I remember the one day just like looking at the mountains and looking at the creation of what God had made. And I found myself looking at my hands and just kind of looking at the intricacy that God had, given and involved not only just with our hands, but with how our hands interact with our minds. And everything that he has created us to be is just a miracle, to say the very least. And what I had is kind of an epiphany, and I shared this with the kids at a campfire, was this creator, who's the greatest creator of all time. Nothing can exceed his capacity to create. What he chooses to do is to invest in relationship. He's not continuing just to create. He's the best creator, but that's not what he spends his time doing. He spends his time invested in us. And that's kind of a Coles Notes version of this story that I portrayed. But I involved one little boy. I just kind of singled him out and asked, like, what do you think, is God the greatest creator? If you were the greatest creator, what would you do? Later this week, at the last campfire, this boy came over to me and we got to pray. He spoke a little bit of English, but we prayed for probably 2 hours, and he rededicated his life to Christ. And even just to have that small story that kind of imprinted to a small level on so many kids' hearts, and then one kid in particular that it imprinted on his heart, and he got to come to me and we got to share and we got to pray. It was just a blessing to see the firsthand work that God could do, even through me, an ignorant Canadian who doesn't speak a lick of Hungarian, but that he can use us even in that spot to do his work. And honestly, guys, I'm just so grateful for, again, the support that you guys gave. It was an amazing opportunity for Katie and I. And Camp Falcon Rock, as much as we tried to be a blessing, it was also a blessing through you guys. So I thank you for that, and blessings on you guys.
Thanks, Sam. I love that you actually demonstrated what you were talking about there in terms of like the creator, the authority figure, chooses to be in relationship and to invest in relationships. And that's what you did by investing in a significant amount of time in that relationship with that kid. That's an awesome story. So thank you. Thank you both. It's awesome. Thanks for sharing your update, guys. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we love how you are at work all over the world, from camps here to camps in Romania to church services to dream center times to one-on-one with you, to being out in the streets and sharing your love with others. You're everywhere. and you're invested in relationship. Thank you for that reminder that you, the only one who deserves praise, doesn't look down on relationship with your creation. What an awesome thing. Thank you for that humility that you demonstrate. And thank you for your deeply relational nature. Lord, I pray that part of that would come out this morning and that there would be epiphanies like Sam had, more aha moments as we spend time looking at your word and pondering who you are and what you are like and how to pray. And I ask that from this time, you do more work in your world that other people might meet Jesus. Guide us through this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, we were looking at Psalm 67, which starts by saying, Lord, we really want your favor in our lives. Shine on us. Turn your face toward us. Give us peace. We need it. And we need it so that the people who don't yet know Jesus might meet Jesus. So that the ends of the earth may know your salvation. So that all the world would know who you are. Lord, bless us. Do something in our lives that shows your goodness and your kindness and your power and your generosity and something of your character and your relational nature. Do more of it in us. Pour out blessings on us in our lives, in our relationships with you and with other people so that the people who don't yet know you, Lord, would come to know you, would come to know you the way that I do, would experience the blessings that you're pouring out in my life. I want you to do it in them, but they need to see something of your activity in my life. And so Psalm 67 just spends time saying, Lord, do it and do it again. Do it in our lives. Do it in my life. Pour out your blessings. Bless me in order that the world might be blessed. Well, we're looking at Psalm 80 today. Psalm 80 has some overlaps, but in a sense, Psalm 80 is the prayer you pray when Psalm 67 isn't happening. Okay? Lord, I've been asking you to bless me so that the world would know who you are, and it's not happening. What do we do then? Well, we pray a different psalm. There's a whole book of them for a reason. Let me just explain a couple maybe somewhat confusing things about this psalm, and then I will read it to you. The Psalm 80 uses two main images. The first image is a vine, and it will talk about, it'll say, God, you took this vine out of Egypt, and you took it to a new plot of land, and you cleared the land out. And you planted this vine in this new land, and you built up a wall around it, and you allowed it to grow and to flourish and to bear fruit, and it was awesome. It's a metaphor for what God did with his people when he rescued the nation of Israel from captivity in Egypt and took them out of Egypt to a new land, to their promised land. And he planted them in the promised land. He cleared the land of everything that was not supposed to be there. And he planted his people there, and he built up a wall around them. He established them. He put protection around them. And he lavished such abundant blessings on them that this vine grew and grapes were produced. That the nation was fruitful, productive, flourishing in all the ways that it should. But the psalm is going to say, you did that, and then things went sideways, and this vine withered, and so on. So we'll get into that in a minute. But all that just to say, the first metaphor that this psalm is going to use is this vine image. So that's what it's referring to. The second one is going to refer to Israel as God's son, his child. And that actually also comes out of Exodus 4, where Moses is speaking to Pharaoh, who is currently oppressing the people of Israel, enslaving them. And God tells Moses to tell Pharaoh, Israel is my firstborn son. My people are like you and your son. I think about my people the way you think about you, your firstborn son. They matter that much to me. So those are the two images that are going to come out in this psalm, but both of them, once again, are referring to corporately a nation, a whole group of people who are God's people, God's kids, right? And now, keep in mind, once again, what do you pray when Psalm 67 isn't happening? Psalm 67, once again, Lord, shine on us. Turn your face towards us. Be gracious to us so that the rest of the world would know who you are and come to worship and praise you. It's not happening now. What do you pray? So let's look at Psalm 80. There's a title, and so it says, for the director of music, to the tune of some song that they used to have back then called the Lilies of the Covenant, the song written by Asaph. In other words, this is something they used in corporate worship. What do you pray when Psalm 67 isn't happening? You pray this, we pray this together, right? That's what the title means, right? So hear us, shepherd of Israel. He's praying to God. Hear us, shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. Joseph is a way of referring to the nation of Israel. You who sit enthroned between the cherubim, angelic figures. Shine forth before the tribes of Israel, before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, these different tribes of Israel. Awaken your might. Come and save us. Restore us, O God. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. How long, Lord God Almighty, how long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? We've been praying Psalm 67. Is that happening? How long? How long? You have fed your people with the bread of tears. It hasn't gone well for us, he's saying. You have made us to drink tears by the bowlful. We've been weeping to the point that we can fill our cereal bowls with our tears in the morning. You have made us an object of derision or scorn to our neighbors. All our enemies mock us. We prayed Psalm 67 that you would bless us to such a degree that our enemies would want to be like us and come to meet you and praise you for who you are. And look what's happening to us right now, God. Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. Now here's the part about the vine. They're reminding God of what he has done in their lives. You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it and it took root and it filled the land. The mountains were covered with the shade of this vine. The mighty cedars were covered with the shade of its branches. Its branches reached as far as the Mediterranean Sea. Its shoots reached as far as the Euphrates River. Why have you, God, broken down the walls around your vineyard so that all who pass by now pick its grapes? Wild boars from the forest ravage your vineyard. Insects from the field feed on it. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root that your right hand has planted, the son that you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It's burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand. Speaking of the son, right? This nation. The son of man that you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us that we might call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty, and make your face shine on us that we may be saved. This is the word of the Lord. We give thanks to the different prayers that God says, my people at some point are going to need this particular prayer. My people are going to pray Psalm 67, and sometimes it's not going to get answered the way that they want or in the timing that they want or something else is needed. They're going to need Psalm 80. I'm going to give them Psalm 80. I love that. And there's a discernment that's needed when selecting the prayer you're supposed to pray sometimes. Right? And that's why he gives us a whole range of them, so that we can continue reaching out for the things that we need from God and saying, what else needs to be addressed here? Or do I need to come at this now from a different angle? That's why this whole book is here. Don't just pray one prayer. Okay, so this psalm starts by, or it does three main things. But the first one is that it just reminds God, you have done all of this good stuff in our lives. And it retells the story. God did this for us. He did this for us. He rescued us. He's been our king. He's been our shepherd. He's been the one that that has looked after us for all of these years. He took us to this place. We didn't start here in this land. God gave us this place, he says. He has been provider. And what they do is they remind God, hey, you've done all of these good things for us. Don't stop now. And then it goes on and says, you'd built up this beautiful vineyard, you'd protected it, but the wall broke down. God, our wall broke down. It's like I don't have the protection that I used to have anymore. Have any of you felt like that? I'm feeling more vulnerable than I have ever felt before. And the psalmist will say, look at the verse. You broke my wall down, God. This isn't random happenstance. It's not chance. It's God, you broke our wall down. And you'll have to go to other parts of scripture and other psalms to talk maybe with God about why he did that. But that's not the issue at the moment. They're saying, we're living with this broken wall. You broke it down, we need you to repair it. We're living with this broken wall, it says, and the wild pigs, you know, think about Jewish people, right? Do they like pigs? No, that's like not one of their top 10 foods, right? Like that's an understatement, right? They are abhorrent to Jewish people. And they're saying the most abhorrent things we could possibly have around us are now ruining our very best places. Have you ever felt like that? Like the things that you don't want to happen are right on your doorstep, and they're taking food from your fridge. And they say that our fruit is being stolen. You planted this vine, and now it's like all of the nations around are actually reaping the benefits of what you did in the wrong way. They're taking advantage of us. We're suffering here. It's all that to say, Lord, you've been good in the past, and we're now not experiencing that. We're actually experiencing suffering in a whole variety of different ways. So the psalm says, you've been good. We are now suffering. And then over and over and over again, it says, help, help, help. I counted, it's like 15 times in 19 verses, the psalmist just says to God in one way or another, save us, rescue us, help us, shine on us, again and again and again, help. And I'll get into those in just a minute. But before I do, I want you to notice what isn't in this psalm. Do you notice what is absent from this psalm? Is any indication of sin, any need for sin to be dealt with, any blame? There's no blame whatsoever. It's like that is not even in view in this particular prayer. It is in view in many other scriptures and many other prayers. but not in this one. That is not, in other words, sin is not always on the forefront of God's mind when he looks at you. And remember, this is, when God hands us Psalms, it's a way of saying, hey, I want you to pray like this. Pray like this to me. I have blessed these words. Come to me with these words. They will help. Is there any sin mentioned in this Psalm? Your sin is not always at the forefront of God's mind. Okay? Sometimes it's like we define ourselves as, I am a sinner. It's like there is some truth to that, but there's also sort of a lie to that. That's not the core of who you are. I am a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, the new has come. Why are you calling the new creation a sinner? There's just chew on that, okay? Sometimes it's not at the forefront of God's mind. And it wasn't in this particular prayer. The psalmist didn't need to confess his sins before he could ask God for help. And in fact, the psalm goes on and on and on about help, not about their sin. So 15 times, it'll say something like, Lord, would you shine forth? That's the first thing it says, shine forth. Lord, would you let light shine in this place again? You made us to be a people who would shine your light. Jesus says to us, let your light shine. Lord, it's gotten really dim around here. Would you shine your light again? What a good prayer to pray. Shine your light. Would you smile on us? Would you save us? Lord, flex your muscles and use them because we need it right now. And they're really bold about it. And you can be bold in your prayers. They say, pray. They pray, Lord, would you return to us? It's like we are experiencing absence right now when what we most need is presence. Do you ever feel like this? Lord, I am reaching out right now and it's feeling like the room is empty. Would you return? Would you turn your face toward us again and give us your peace? I even pray that over you right now where some of you feel absence. Lord, would you return to the people who need it most? That your that your presence would be experienced. That's what they're praying for here. Lord, would you do this here? And I love the one image. It says, Lord, would you put your hand on the shoulder of the son that you have? Like, would you treat your people like the son that you just, like a good father just puts his arm around his kid? You're my kid. Lord, would you do that for your people right now? Do you need an arm around the shoulder these days from God? I think he wants to do that for you. I think that because he wrote this and said, pray this way. He's a God who wants to put an arm around your shoulder. Lord, would you revive us? It says, would you make us flourish again? We're floundering. We're dry, we're weary. Lord, revive us. Do something new. And it says, and this line gets repeated three times, restore us and shine on us. To have a face shine is that experience of you know, when you're walking down the street and you see someone coming in and all of a sudden you recognize who it is and they smile at you. That's the picture of God's, of a face shining. That's what they are thinking of. Lord, would you look up from whatever you are doing right now and see your son, see your daughter, see your people and recognize them. Recognize us in our need and smile. Would you smile on your people, Lord? We could sure use a smile. Right now, we could sure use what comes when you smile on your people. And why do they have to pray that over and over again? I don't know. Sometimes God likes repetition. It's there three times in this psalm. Restore us. Make your face shine on us. Don't be afraid to ask and seek and knock and keep on asking and keep on seeking and keep on knocking. There are help us, save us, rescue us, shine on us 15 times in 19 verses for a reason. Be persistent in your prayers. All of it, I think, is a way to say, Lord, would you renew your intentions towards us? You gave us a purpose. In fact, we had a brother here this morning share about how God just spoke to him about a purpose in his life. God called his people of Israel to be a people for a purpose. In fact, it was the Psalm 67 purpose. Shine on us, smile on us, bless us, because there's a whole lot of people around us who need it. Start here and may it go to them. Lord, we're not experiencing it anymore. Would you renew your intentions toward us? Do it again. The psalm looks like it was written by a guy by the name of Asaph. I don't know what tribe Asaph comes from. You know, Israel was made up of 12 tribes, right? So 12 different families essentially become one family, or are one extended family. But the psalmist here actually prays, Asaph actually prays, Lord, would you do it in that tribe there? And do it in that tribe over there. And would you do it in this tribe here as well? Do it in Ephraim. Do it in the tribe of Manasseh. Do it especially in the tribe of Benjamin, which is mentioned there. Guys, it's just the Bible. He prays it on behalf of his brothers, his sisters. Lord, I have my particular needs, but would you meet the needs of like the wider community? We together need something to happen. I find that part really interesting. A couple of months ago, I had this dream where I had this dream of these tropical fish in a pond. They're these freshwater tropical fish called discus. They're sort of the shape of a dinner plate. They're not the size of these, probably about more like the size of a tea saucer. But they're that shape. And in my dream, they were in a freshwater pond, and the water had gotten so low that our discus fish were all on their side. What that pond needs is an outpouring of rain. What this community here needs is an outpouring where God would work on behalf of the whole community, and that the individual needs of this particular person with crop failure and that particular person with health issues and this particular person with relationship issues, all of those things that we tend to pray for ourselves, somehow it's like God's looking at the bigger picture and saying, if the presence of God and the face of God smiles on his people and the water level rises in the pond as the Spirit is poured out, metaphorically speaking, then some of those other issues kind of get addressed as well. It's a bigger picture vision than my particular wants or my particular needs. The prayer of this psalm, as much as we automatically think in terms of our own particular issues, is actually the whole pond. It's the whole people, not even just this tribe or that tribe, but the whole family, the whole people of God. When Psalm 67 isn't working, what about praying that God work at a bigger level? That he would raise the water level, the spiritual temperature, that he would fill his whole people with his Spirit. A friend of mine recently sent me a story of a missionary named Jonathan Goforth, who had experienced revival in Korea and thought that he'd found a formula. And so what he wrote down is his 7 points for a formula. And he's like, I'm going as a missionary to Manchuria. We're gonna see revival happen here. I got a 7-point recipe. And he applied his recipe and nothing happened. And it was quite devastating, although at first he just tried harder at his 7 points. And it wasn't working out. He has this quite a failure, has a moment of being humbled. And he comes back again to the same church that he failed at, calls them all together again. And instead of applying his formula for how to fix their lives, he starts praying for them. And he prays for some of their individual needs. But in praying for this person and that family, the Holy Spirit starts to come into the church in a way that he is always present but manifests differently, and starts to manifest. And the people start praying for one another. The people start confessing their sins. The people start experiencing God at work in their lives. And they end up with revival that didn't happen because of a formula. It happened because someone started praying for the other people in the room. And that the prayers for the crop failure or the prayers for the relationships or whatever they were weren't necessarily answered by the crops no longer failing or the relationships being repaired right in the room. The answer actually came, God's answer to the problems was more of my spirit. It's fish whose water level has gone so that they can now swim properly because there's more of God. It ends up being this corporate thing that brings healing perhaps to the individual lives, right? So I wonder about, you know, you and I each have our own different needs and prayer requests and all of that, and often God does answer those things. But sometimes some of the answers to those come in the form of God pouring out his spirit on a community and transforming a community. And the other things, the other needs, tend to be met in that process. And that's what Psalm 80 is getting at. Psalm 80 is getting at, it's not so much a prayer to, Lord, fix my particular problems. Psalm 80 is, Lord, would you take care of your purposes for your wider people? Maybe there are problems here at the Dream Center. Maybe some of you who are clients here are struggling with problems at the Dream Center. I'm not aware of any, so I'm not addressing anyone in particular. I'm just using this as an example. What about instead of praying for the particular problem, we start praying that God would work at a higher level and bring new levels of a sense of his presence to this place? What about praying that the people here who serve here, as well as the clients who come here, would experience the Spirit and would flourish? And then maybe some of the other problems get addressed underneath. What if we wanted to see drug problems solved in Red Deer, but instead of going after, what about going and saying, Lord, would you change the spiritual environment of Red Deer? What about instead of saying, Lord, our particular church wants revival, what if we prayed revival and blessings over Home Church and Crossroads and Deer Park Alliance and actually, like, this guy prayed for our brothers and sisters? I wonder if some of the other things that we pray about, those needs, would get met in a different way. God has a much bigger vision than simply improving my own individual life. He wants to see my life improved in relationship to other people and because other people are flourishing. So what if we pray Psalm 80 together? I'm not going to ask you to pray it out loud. Part of the reason we pray out loud is so that other people can sort of silently or even out loud just amen it, right? Because it's a way to agree together in prayer. So what if we pray this, but we pray it on behalf of our brothers and sisters, even beyond Unity Baptist? What if we pray it on behalf of our Dream Center brothers and sisters? What if we pray it on behalf of the other churches in this city and this community? That God would restore us, that God would make his face shine on the bigger body, and that he would renew his purposes for us. So let's pray it. Let's pray it on behalf of the Big C Church. Hear us, shepherd of your people, you who lead your sheep like a flock, you who is enthroned on high. Shine forth around this city. Shine forth for Deer Park Alliance and Center Church and Crossroads and Home Church and Impact and New Life and St. Leonard's. Lord, awaken your might and come and save us. Restore your body, oh God. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. How long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? We have had tears upon tears upon tears, and we are not the example of light that we ought to be, and we need your help. Restore us, God Almighty. Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. We have experienced times where you have provided. You've brought revival. You have brought healing. You have made yourself known. We have seen people meet Jesus in incredible ways. We're not experiencing that like we used to. We're not experiencing awakenings. Why is that, Lord? Why does it seem like things are not the way they should be? Return to us, God Almighty. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over your Big C Church in Canada. Put your right hand around our shoulder. We are your kids. We've been experiencing lack. And this is not the way that it's supposed to be. Would you let your hand rest on us again? Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us, that we may be saved. Lord, thank you that you give us scripted prayers. Not for the sake of religion, but for the sake of relationship with you. Lord, we want to see more people in relationship with you. Would you teach us to pray again from your book? And in doing so, would you give us a bigger picture vision for what you are doing and want to do in the world? Lord, would you shine on your people? Would you raise the water level? Lord, we want to see your work established. We're not here to build our kingdoms. You are the good Father. You are our good Creator. You have had good intentions right from the beginning. Would you simply make your good intentions go forward? And would you do it at the highest levels in Canada, among your church? Lord, would you fill your people afresh with your Holy Spirit? Would you awaken in us a heart to pray, revive us again? Will you not revive us again, that your people your whole people may rejoice in you, may have overflowing joy because you are here, you are present, you are at work, you are making all things new. Oh, Lord, would you have your way among us? Would you guide us to pray at bigger levels? And may we see the overflow of the Holy Spirit coming to the needs that we have, that we bring week after week here to this place. Relational issues, addictions, financial burdens, health, depression. I pray that you would pour out your Spirit on a city and that we would see so many of these things answered and or displaced as you move in power. Revive us again. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stay seated. There's one more song. So we have two, but let's just do that first one. My prayer is that God would restore you and restore us. That song there is a Psalm 67 and a Psalm 80 psalm. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be known on the earth and your saving power among the nations. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you more of himself for the sake of his purposes in the world. Thanks for being here, friends. We have snacks. Jill, thanks for providing those. We could use your help with the chairs, but then stick around to enjoy one another's company. Have a great week.